One word came to my mind, watching. When I was in Bible college, I learned the true definition of that word in a certain instance in the Bible. So I want you to write this down. The Greek word for watching in the three passages we're going to look at tonight means to keep awake, literally to be sleepless. Now, that's interesting because when I think of the word watching, you kind of think of the classic mall cop in a movie that's watching the security cameras, right? He's got his feet up on the desk. He's got his icy pop. You know, he's slurping away. You can even hear how he's out of the icy drink. And yeah, he's watching the cameras, but it's not with intent. So get this. It is a sleepless watch. Specifically, then the word vigilant comes up. Now, I wanted to know what that word vigilant meant because in the Strong's Concordance that I was looking at, that's all it said. Sleepless, with intent, vigilant. Okay, so what does vigilant mean? We should find that out. So this is what vigilant means. Alert, guarding against any surprise or danger. So to me, that is a different kind of watching than monitoring a camera feed. Or, you know, watching for the mailman to deliver your package. It is a militant guarding of something. So you and I, as believers, and those of you who are watching on the live stream, as believers, there is so much that you and I have to do to watch. We have to be careful. And that doesn't mean that we're stiff and we're no fun and we're difficult. It means that we have clear boundaries set up within our lives to protect from something horrible happening. It doesn't take 1 second for a person to fall. It's a gradual process. It starts up here, and it ends with the action being committed. I'm not specifically speaking about fornication. I'm talking about anything. A person who steals something, they have thought in their mind of all the things they could do, and they've chosen a bad thing, and they've dwelled on it, and then they've decided by planning it, and then in the execution of the plan, they've done what they should not have done. There were many places in that process where it could have stopped. And the purpose of our study tonight is to look at these three passages and see how prayer is a very important part of watching, of being vigilant, alert, guarding against any surprise or danger. There is no guarantee that we will not be surprised by things. Okay? Saying you're a Christian does not mean, well, nothing surprises me. Things will surprise you. Your body will do things that surprise you. People that you love and care about will do things that surprise you. Things in the world will happen that surprise you. How do you react to those things? If you're living a life that's carefree and undisciplined, you'll be caught off guard by those surprises, and you'll fall. You will react as you have seen someone else react. The Word of God will not be what guides you. Unfortunately, it will be the thing you go to when you need to recover from your fall. And that's a good thing, that the Word of God is there, but it's also a better thing if we try to avoid the recovery part. Now, we're all going to need that. I'm not going to stand up here and say that it's impossible that we're all not going to fail at some point. The gravity of that fall, you can determine that by the things you do now. So take your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians. This is the first place we're going to look at this Greek word. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. Now, the interpretation of this passage, we're talking about children of the day and children of the night. We had just covered in chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4, the event called the rapture. And Paul says specifically here in verse 5, ye, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have a hope, unlike those who are not saved, ye are children of the light. That is our position in Christ. This is where we stand. And we have to make sure that we do not lose the gravity of what Christ is to our daily lives. Before you were saved, Jesus was the only way you could get to heaven. And there was a moment in time where you believed, and he became your Savior. Okay, he is the Lord of all. We don't have to make him the Lord of our life in order for his title to be secured. He is who he is. That's why in Philippians it says, every knee will bow and every tongue will be stopped. It's not that everyone will have to be argued with. It'll be a very discernible thing. He is the Lord. But the moment that you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, upon that moment of belief, all your sin is taken care of. It's not from that moment on you're justified from all things from which you could not be justified in the law. The law condemns us, okay? Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Not only did he fulfill the law, he offers all who believe, he offers his righteousness. Now, that's a one-time thing. That happens one time. You don't have to get re-righteous, re-justified, re-sanctified. It's a one-time thing. Seriously, we think about this sometimes, and we don't realize that many people don't believe this. They believe at some point, you got to re-up. Oh, there has to be a pattern of behavior that leads to you having to be re-justified. No, that's the completeness of the gospel. So now that we had that one moment in time, now the rest of our lives, there needs to be a daily reliance upon him. Because all that we can do to please the Lord is through Christ, through that new nature that you have, through that Holy Spirit. So Paul reminds them here, you are children of the light, not the children of darkness. You read Ephesians chapter 2, where it talks about you were before alienated to all these different ways. You're not alienated to those things anymore. You've been brought into this very rich, very powerful family, the family of God. You've actually been given an inheritance. You're not just someone who's visiting. You're a part of the family. You are a very strong word that's used in Romans. You're adopted. You look at the process of adoption. I was talking to John and Peggy Sperling a couple of months ago, and they were talking about what adoption meant for them. When John and Peggy adopted the kids that they have, the judge signed those kids' birth certificates with the signature that he had and put the age that John would have been when they were born. Just think of that. Showing, the moment I sign this, they're yours, as if they had always been yours, not from this moment on, the whole thing. You study that word adoption and you see what we have been given in Christ didn't start in just like one moment. Well, one moment it was initiated, but Christ took care of all of our sin, just as if we've never sinned. So when Paul says here, you are children of the light, we're children of the light. But we can still act in our selfish ways, and that's what he gets to here at the beginning of verse 6. Therefore, because of these things, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch. Paul tells them, you are going to have a temptation, as others have done, to be lazy with your life, lazy with your thoughts, lazy with your actions, the places you go, the people you surround yourselves with. You need to watch, be careful, and remind yourself who you are. This, broken down to its very base core, is how we can make every single decision. It can get down to that level. Now, don't let this paralyze you. Let it empower you that you have the ability to make better decisions. And then he uses this word at the end of that verse, and be sober, not influenced by something negative. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. So there are others who they are checked out spiritually. And there was a teaching that was very prominent that was going around after Christ had died and after he rose again and after he ascended. Pharisees that said they believed were trying to add works by saying, these Gentiles, yeah, the Jews believe on Jesus, yeah, but you know, we're already circumcised, so we're covered in that way, and we're following the law in that way. The Gentiles need to do it too. This is literally within a couple of years of the church happening. And then you find out the reason that all these epistles were written in the New Testament was to combat that point. It's by him only. This is why I love the attack that is put on this ministry, that we're gospel only. Good. So was all of the New Testament church. Gospel only. They wrote letters to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, to the Corinthian believers. You're adding. You're acting as if this doesn't matter. Live in that new nature. Do not add to the gospel. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel that I taught you. What was that gospel message? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah, and he did pay for all the sins of all the world, Jew or Gentile. That's it. But there are people that they get lazy on that point. They look at a finer point of Christianity and they say, ooh, let me get this here. Yeah, gospel, but look at all of this. I mean, and you can get caught in the Word of God studying things that I'm not going to say they don't matter, but if we're not teaching the gospel, they're secondary to that point. And we have to be careful of that. And we have to recognize that there are desires within each and every one of us in this room that are evil, and they are wicked, and they are ungodly, and they can be committed, period. Don't ever think that you could never be a person that could do a horrible sin. You can. There is an evil nature within you that is against your flesh, and it wants you to be lulled to sleep. Oh yeah, well you'd never do this, but then you do a little bit more and a little bit more, and before you know it, you're committing sin that you would have thought you would have never done. It's because we get lazy. We stop watching. We take our eyes off of what we're supposed to guard, our testimony, our actions. You think about what happened with Rabbi Zacharias. All of that could have been avoided. All of it could have been avoided. The ministry said, we don't know what we're going to do next. We don't even know if we're going to continue. Can you imagine a place where maybe someone could trust Christ? Gone because of what someone decided they were not going to guard against? We've got to be careful. If the gospel is literally life and death, then we should protect our lives. We should protect the things that we say and do, the things that we allow to enter into our mind. A believer's life must be lived with an attitude of alertness with well-defined boundaries. And those well-defined boundaries come from God's word. So here's my next point here. We talked about the attitude of watching. Let's look in the different areas that we should watch. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, in verse 2. And this is what I found very interesting when I was studying this word watching. Same word is used here, sleepless watch, to stay awake, to be vigilant. Verse 2, continue in what? Prayer. Okay. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. So, start praying. When you do, don't stop and stay vigilant in your prayers. Do you notice a theme there? Everything is put into the prayer. Unfortunately, with movies and with the charismatic movement, sometimes people think, I don't know how to pray. There's no way. The Bible talks about an example of how to pray. In your closet, Jesus says, where no one else is. Don't be like the Pharisee that walks around and beats his chest and looks around and says things like, I thank you that I am not like these sinners. If anyone, people should be praying for that person. Prayer does not have to be something formal. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit intercedes and translates for us when we are not saying the right thing. I was just talking with Marjorie a second ago. I said, do you mind if I put on the prayer list about your housing issues? And I was like, you know, do you want me to discuss all of that? And she was like, I don't know, you could probably just say housing issues. And I said, you know, sometimes we think that God's up there And if we don't say exactly what we want, he's like, oh, you were so close. You were so close. If you just would have finished that or put it in proper context, or you actually spelt your incorrectly. That is not how, look, he is your dad. He is your father. And first of all, he's with you in the Holy Spirit. He wants you to succeed. He wants to bless you. This is not, he's not our employer. It's not that kind of relationship. The Hebrew uses the word Abba, which is a very, it's like daddy. Now, some people take that to the extreme and they pray in this cringy way. And I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is recognize this is a loving relationship that you have with the Lord. If you don't know what to say, say that. I have said that many times. I've sat in my office, in my new office here, many times in my office in the back when my office used to sit next to the men's bathroom. I would sit there sometimes and look at my desk or look at the wall and say, Lord, I don't know what to ask for, but I know I need you. And it is in some of those moments that I have the most peace. Because I'm not asking him the things that I want. I'm asking him, show me what you want me to do. But that is how I stay sharp. That is how you stay sharp. If you're not daily in prayer, you are being deceived daily. You'll get wrapped up in something else. It's not God's word. It happened with Rabbi Zacharias, who we would look at and say is a titan of the faith if he understood the gospel clearly. But for years, he had this stuff going on. Wasn't guarded. Wasn't careful. Oh, not me. So these are the areas, write these down, four different areas that we should watch with prayer. We analyze these areas with prayer. Number one, the mind. That's everything, y'all, the mind. The greatest structures that have ever been built started in somebody's mind. They didn't just bloop into existence like evolution says. I love collecting watches. You know why? Because I know underneath that beautiful face and all that stuff that's there, there is a flawless timekeeping machine there, and I like that. That's cool. I look at my watches, and it reminds me, number one, I'm thankful. Number two, there's a design to this piece. Just like there's a design to me. Just like in my life that God has already seen it completed, there's a purpose ticking in my life. You know what happens when the watch battery dies? The watch stops functioning. You stop praying, your ability to be effective is going to be halted. We don't take it seriously enough. Sometimes I think we should have prayer every night. This church should be open and people could come in and pray. So number one, the mind, and that is what we think, what we emotionally feel, and what we ponder, what we dwell on. Number two, the mouth. Right? You're right, Larry. All right. What we say, how we say those things, and what we do not say in an attempt to deceive. Oh boy, you talk to people that are trying to not pay their taxes. They got great lawyers. I was just reading the other day, in the UK, someone evaded paying millions of dollars in taxes because they said, well, this person, they really aren't that person. They're playing a person with the same name, so it's a fictional character, and therefore, we don't have to pay the taxes that much. Really, when you look at it, I did a horrible job of explaining it, but when you look at it in the video, you're like, wow, they got you on that one. Well, we can deceive by saying everything that's truth, but just in a one slanted way. Look at what Satan did in the garden. Did God really say, oh, this is why he doesn't want you to be this way, because you'll be like him. Was that true that they would be like him? They would know between good and evil. And they were deceived. And Eve even said, he said we shouldn't eat it, not even touch it. It's a dangerous thing, the mouth, what we say. Number three, the hands, what we spend our time on. who and what we serve with our hands. And what we obsess over, you can just get latched on to a certain thing, and before you know it, you are spending not just minutes and hours, you're spending days and weeks and months on something. You know, I'm all about saving money. I think that's a good thing, but I think it can be incredibly dangerous. Because now you're looking at everything you do through the lens of, well, how much money can I save? Or how much can I add to my wealth? That's a dangerous thing. There's a point where that has to be put in check. And I'm not saying that means you have to spend all your money. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what you obsess over. You know the things that you put too much confidence in. I've said it for a couple of years now because I saw it happen within the Republican Party. People were obsessing over the person and the things that were being said of Donald Trump. So much so that they were thinking that in him is no wrong done. I don't trust in him. Not in the slightest. Do I wish he was our president? Let me be clear. Yes, compared to what we have right now. But I'm not putting my trust in the United States president. I'm putting my trust in the Lord of all. But if we're not careful, we know more about the presidency than we do about the scripture. And that all comes down to our hands, what we do physically with our hands, what we spend our money on, all of that stuff. We should bathe that in prayer as well. And the last thing is the home. And I'm not talking about where you're going to go tonight and open up the door. I'm talking about what you surround yourself with. What kind of influence? We just had a great influencer pass away in Rush Limbaugh. Great speaker of conservative truth. If you're not careful, you will become what you listen to. What kind of programs do you allow in your home? If there's one area that I have seen the most growth since I was like 20 years old, it's that. As I've studied the Word of God more, I just don't desire to watch shows that I would have said, well, it's just for entertainment. Now it's like, for what? For what? I was just watching the other day a part of a movie. I can't even remember what it was. But right there in the opening act, they slander God really badly. And you're like, for what point? What purpose does that serve? Then you have wicked shows. There's a show on Netflix called Lucifer, where it's literally Lucifer, a show about the devil. How fun. And they have multiple seasons. There just comes a point where you and the world will not be compatible, but if you let, well, it's just a little bit of this, it's just a little bit of that, guess what? It's going to grind against your conscience, and then before you know it, it's real smooth, fits in easy. You've got to guard against the home, where you live and who you surround yourself with. You've got to be careful of that. You study what happened to Ravi Zacharias. He had a problem that needed to be addressed, and from that need stemmed all of that sin. Well, I need this. Well, you go to the point of 10 years later, you're doing the very thing that you said you'd never do. You didn't guard against it. So I'll just cover those four areas again as we move on to the last point tonight. These are the areas we need to watch relentlessly: the mind, the mouth, the hands, and the home. And then here's what we need to remember about when we need to recover from a failed watch. When we have slipped and messed up, what do we do then? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. We're going to read verses 18, 19, and 20. Let's start there. Praying always. You see that again? Continue in prayer. Colossians 4, 2. Here we are in Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. There's the word we're studying tonight. thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So it's not just for you. It's for your brother in Christ. It's for your sister in Christ. Pray for them too. A lack of prayer will be detrimental to them as well. Verse 19. And for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. So specifically, we are supposed to pray for those four areas, but then above all, that we're ready to speak. Speak what? To make known the mystery of the gospel. Specifically, that new mystery was the Gentiles are included. But guess what? To you and me, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Congratulations. By the way, I took that 23andMe test. I found out I am 0.7%, I think it's pronounced Ashkenazi Jew. That's awesome. Look, if Elizabeth Warren can be 0.3% Indian and claim it, you got a Jewish pastor. Just kidding. Just kidding. But Paul says specifically there that he would open his mouth boldly for what? The gospel, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. And you read Romans, he was a willing slave to the Lord, a love slave specifically. In Philippians 3, he says, all the things I had before count for nothing compared to Christ. You are an ambassador too. Isn't that a great title to hold? That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. God expects you to be active in sharing the good news of his son. But what happens when we mess up? What happens when we do not protect those areas? When we are not good in prayer and we slip up and fall? Maybe in the smallest of ways, maybe in the largest of ways, like what's happening with Ravi Zacharias' ministries. Three things. Get right with the Lord and forgive yourself. I see a lot of times where people have messed up, and it gives me great peace and great sadness. I have great peace because I know that God has forgiven them. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us. Cleanse us. It's done. It's taken care of. But it gives me sadness because a lot of people don't, they say that, but they don't live that. It becomes another element of pride where we hang over that rain cloud over our heads and we say, oh, I've done so wrong. Now look, there's a time for that. We will hurt from the consequences. David in the Psalms had some chapters that'll break your heart. The sin weighed heavy on him. But he ended each one saying, God of mercy, there is forgiveness available. Look, I think if someone has done something wrong, we as the church should be ready and willing to forgive them, and if possible, welcome them back. With open arms, not like this. Okay. I really don't want to. Demonstrate that same forgiveness that God has demonstrated to us. Number two, get right with the parties involved and seek their forgiveness. But you may not get that forgiveness. And that's okay, because it's not it. Their forgiveness is not as important as God's forgiveness. But if you've hurt someone else by the things you've said or done, the lack of prayer that you have sustained in your life, the lack of guarding of those areas, seek forgiveness from them and seek it humbly. Don't run in there expecting it, because not everyone's going to do that. And the last point, get right with your church and seek forgiveness. Now, some people would say, ooh, that's cultish. I don't like that. No, it's biblical. Galatians 6:1, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Paul said about the young man that was sleeping with his stepmom, it'd be better if he was out of this world. But in 2 Corinthians, they got welcomed back. That's an important doctrine to see there. Is there any sin that would banish us outside of God's family? We got to be careful that we're not looking to crush people. You know what I'm saying? We've got to be forgiving. We've got to be loving. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to welcome somebody back. You don't even realize it until you're in that position. Like, man, I didn't expect this to be that hard. Well, you got to work at it, but be willing to do it. But that word watch in the verses that we covered tonight, you just do a word study. I really want to plug eSword here, which is a great computer application you can get it on your cell phone, but if you use it on your laptop or your desktop computer, it is great. There are great commentaries there that provide nice insight. The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge does an excellent job of cross-referencing. And also, just you can download free versions of the Bible, like KJV Plus, where every word you see the Greek and Hebrew and you can look at it. That's how I prepare a lot of my messages. It's called eSword, eSword. But those three passages that we looked at tonight, I think there is a great lack of watching. There's a great excuse of, oh, I'm watching, but people were not. In fact, I see a lot of people just wanting to watch others and see, wait for them to slip up. I see that in our modern Christian world today. There are ministries that are taking advantage of what's happening with this Ravi Zacharias case, and they're just absolutely dumping on them. Now, we take the gospel and make it a side piece of what's happening there. Is that what the Bible teaches we should do? We need to lift each other up. Above all, though, the gospel needs to be clear. People need to know where we stand about heaven and hell. Because what else is it? If it's not about that, what are we really talking about? You know? We've heard Dr. Arnold say it before. I'd rather people go to heaven in diapers than not at all. Hello, what does that mean when you break it down? All they need to know is what Jesus Christ did for them.